I was looking yesterday at the book of Philippians, actually last night, and in Philippians chapter 2, there's some verses there that I just love. The whole first part of Philippians chapter 2, you know, those first 10 verses, are just such great insight. And when you look at Philippians chapter 1, and you kind of hear Paul's talking about those who sometimes were supportive of him or preached the gospel for, lifted up the name of Jesus for their own purposes as opposed to the glory of Jesus Christ. And you can hear Paul's heart as he's talking about those people, and basically he's saying, hey, you know what, as long as the name of Jesus Christ is being lifted up, even if they're using it to manipulate me, and if they use my imprisonment, you know, for their own, he said, you know what, as long as the name of Jesus Christ is being lifted up through me in whatever way, he's good with that. So you see the heart of Paul. And then in chapter 2, you see that Paul, in those first 10 verses, is talking about how we should be and how we should live our lives. You know, the two of the verses that stand out in those that are always memorable to me, in the third verse of chapter 2, it says, let nothing be done out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all things, lift up others. Consider others better than yourself. It's that attitude that we're supposed to have where we consider others' needs more than ourselves. And that's kind of what we do here at the Prayer Closet. You know, that's what we're trying to establish and what we give you the opportunity to do as well. It's easy for us to think about our own needs. It's easy for us to think about, you know, what I need God to do in my life. But as I said, when you hear us praying for the request that we have later on in this broadcast, that's an opportunity for you to take your focus off of you and off of your needs and to be what Paul demonstrated, what Paul says, this is what Jesus has instructed, to consider others better than yourself, something we don't do in this culture all that well. And then you go down a few more verses, in verse number 5, he says, let this mind, talking about the mind of Jesus Christ, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. We do have the mind of Jesus Christ, because we are directly connected through salvation. When we accepted his salvation and we were made new creations, new creatures in him, in other words, that part of us which had been unplugged into the spiritual realm, unplugged from God the Father, that part of us that our spirit that was, you know, we often refer to it as being dead, the spirit had been dead until the Holy Spirit came, but now it's alive, we're plugged in to God the Father, have direct access. So we have direct access to God the Father, to the heavenly realms. We have that mind of Christ because the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit that is in you, is speaking to your spirit, and your spirit is speaking to your soul, which is your mind and your personality. So we have that mind of Christ in us. That's a great, great verse. So we see all those things in chapter 2. And then as we go a little bit further on into chapter 2, starting in verse number 19, now, again, this is Paul writing his letter to the Ephesians. And as he's writing this letter, he says, but I hope and that I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ soon to send Timothy to you, so that I may also be encouraged and cheered by learning news of you. So Paul's saying, listen, even though I'm here and I'm in prison, even though I can't do anything, I'm looking forward to the time that I can send Timothy to you. There's two things here. Paul's excited because he's going to send to the church of the Ephesians, the people in the church of Ephesus. He's going to send to them Timothy. He's saying that he trusts Timothy. And we'll read that here in a few more minutes. And he wants Timothy to take words of encouragement, words of life, words of truth. But he also knows that Timothy is going to come back to him also. And this is a great statement of faith, as he's saying, listen, I know that I'm going to send Timothy to encourage you. And Timothy is going to be reporting to me your progress. He's going to be telling me what's going on with you as the body of believers in Ephesus. And I know I'm going to be encouraged and strengthened by that. And even though I'm here in prison, and he does say, when you read through the book of Philippians, he knows that his imprisonment is making an impact, that lives are being changed. The gospel, the good news, is being shared and lives are being impacted because of the sacrifice that he's making. And he's saying that even though he's there and he can't come to them because of what he's doing, you know, because of being in captivity, that even though he's there, he knows that God has used him in the lives of the individuals as well as the collective body there in Ephesus. And he knows that they are growing in the Lord. He's kind of looking at them as, I'm the spiritual father, you're the children. I'm looking forward to a good report, and I'm sending my trusted child, Timothy, to you. He's going to encourage you. See, Paul knew that Timothy would be sharing the same truth that he had taught, that he had demonstrated to Timothy. He knew all that he had invested into Timothy and all that the Holy Spirit had spoken through Paul into Timothy, and just Timothy spending his own time in the Holy Spirit. He knew that he could trust Timothy. He knew Timothy was going to go with the same word because they have the mind of Christ. It's the same word. It's the same truth. It's the same liberty that comes from the Word of God. He knew that Timothy would go, and that when Timothy got there, Paul knew it would be like myself being there, because he knew that Timothy was going to share the same things, share the same truth. But he also knew and was encouraged and made the statement of faith that I know when Timothy comes back, and he will come back because he is a spiritual son to me. I know that when he comes back, he's going to tell me what's taking place there. He's going to report to me all the things that he saw while he was there, sharing his word of encouragement, sharing the truth of Jesus Christ, being a light to you and helping to teach you. But he's going to come back and give me a report, and I know that report's going to be good. So Paul's expressing great confidence in both Timothy and in the church of Ephesus. So then in verse number 20, the next verse, it says, "For I have no one like him," talking about Timothy, "no one of so kindred a spirit, who will be so genuinely interested in your welfare and devoted to your interests." Paul has raised up Timothy as his own. And he's looking at Timothy like a spiritual child. Let's go on a little bit further. We'll come back to that verse. "For the others all seek to advance their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ the Messiah. But Timothy's tested worth, you know, how as a son with his father, he has toiled with me zealously in serving and helping to advance the good news and the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him promptly, just as soon as I know how my case is going to turn out." And he goes on a little bit further about that. But he's talking about Timothy, and he's referring, you can hear him referring here to Timothy, as though Timothy is his own son, his own spiritual son. "But Timothy's tested worth, you know, how as a son with his father, he has toiled with me zealously." He's saying, just as a son is with his father and toils endlessly for his father, so Timothy has been with me, working with me, advancing the work that God has laid on my heart. So he's identifying Timothy as one that is like a spiritual son. He's identifying Timothy as one that he has taught and trained and raised up. He's taught Timothy to be what Paul can't be, because Paul can only be at one place. And Paul is imprisoned in Rome. He can't be in Ephesus. But it's like he's sending himself anyway, because he's sending Timothy, the one that he has raised up, the one that he has invested in, the one that he knows shares that same mind of Christ that he does. Again, if we look at it, it says, "For all the others." See, Paul's had a lot of people that came into his life that perhaps said all the right things and wanted to learn under Paul, but they wanted to learn for the wrong reasons, for their own selfish reasons, not for the advancement, not for the true advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. "For others all seek to advance their own interests, not those things of Jesus Christ." Paul obviously has spent some time investing in some individuals that didn't take full advantage of what Paul was sharing and what the Holy Spirit was sharing to them through Paul. They didn't take advantage of those opportunities. But Paul found the one in Timothy. Paul found the one that, well, as he sends Timothy to Ephesus, it's like he's sending himself. It's his own son. They both have that same mind of Christ that Paul talked about earlier on in this chapter. So why do I bring up Paul and his relationship with Timothy? I don't know how many of you, how long you've been in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and that saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But here's one thing that I've found. If you're looking to learn and really understand and learn the Word of God, if you really want to see and understand, the best way to understand something, well, the best way to understand the Word is to spend time in the Word and to meditate on the Word, because the Holy Spirit's going to reveal things to you as you meditate on it. But it's amazing to me how much more I understand about the Word of God when all of a sudden I have to teach it to somebody else. When you're in a situation, when you're in a one-on-one situation and somebody asks you a question about the Bible, one of the best ways to understand it, because it kind of forces you to think beyond, well, think outside your own mind. It forces you to try to explain something that you are aware of in your own soul, but try to explain it in such a way, to present it in such a way that somebody else can understand it to the same depth in the same way that you do. Have that same understanding. That takes some effort. You got to think of it differently. And you got to think about it more comprehensively to be able to express it so they can understand what you're experiencing, what you know, what your knowledge is, what you understand. If you really want to fully understand something, teach it to somebody else. I know a lot of people that I talk to get frustrated because they feel like it's just hard for me to understand the Word of God. And when you feel like it's hard for you to understand the Word of God, we tend to not invest the time in it. Oh, you know what? How many times have you done this? Oh, you know what? I'm going to read the Word, but you read for a few minutes and you know what? I'm not getting it. It's just easier to turn on the TV and watch whatever is on the TV. Because you're going to understand that. Because television is dumbed down to the lowest common denominator. You're going to, whatever they have there, you're going to understand it. It requires very little on my part. I'm not expanding my mind. I'm not growing at all. And I'm certainly not growing spiritually by watching things on TV. Now, even if you go to the place where you say, I'm going to turn on a Christian television station and watch some Christian teaching, good for you. That's excellent. But you know what? That person who is there on that screen teaching you, that person is learning also because they're having to teach it to you. When you can teach it to someone else, when you can spend some time with someone else teaching the truths of the Word of God, this is when you really start to get it locked into your own mind and your own soul. Some of the concepts of the Bible and the foundations that I've learned over the 30-some years I've been in ministry, some of the concepts that I'll never forget that are ingrained in me are the ones that very early on I had to teach to someone else. For some reason it was left to me, I had to teach. And when I had to teach those things, they're locked into my mind. They're locked in to my soul. They're locked into my personality. They're locked into who I am. And I don't forget those things. Now, I can still build on those things. Even those things that I understood, I can still build on those things later. But if you truly want to understand the Word of God, try to teach it with someone else. If you're not a part of a Bible study, it doesn't have to be a big group. It can be three of you. It can be two of you. But find a Bible study. Find someone else to study the Word of God with. The great thing about a Bible study, it's not just one person that's teaching. It's an exchange of thoughts and ideas. And so as you're reading the Word and as you prepare for that Bible study and you read the verses that you know you have to go over, you get some insights into it. But you know what? It's when you have to speak and you have to start sharing what your thoughts are and what you understand, and you have to try to put that into a way that other people can understand. It really locks it into your own mind, and it seems to open up some keys as you're discussing things. There's a lot of times that I'll come on in this program. I will give you an example. Last Thursday, the message that I had for you from, I think it was Thursday, was from Ephesians. You know, I said earlier that this was Paul talking to the Ephesians. It was Paul talking to the Philippians. Last week I was in Ephesians. This is Philippians. Paul was talking to the Philippians as he's talking about Timothy, just so you know, be clear on that. But last week as I was talking to you about the Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 4, I was going to look at verses 1 and 2, and then I had a couple other verses down the chapter that I was going to go to. And I had a certain place that I was going to go. But as I read to you on the air, live, as I read to you verse 1, it was all of a sudden something clicked in my mind. It's like the Holy Spirit showed me something I hadn't seen before. And the whole 15 minutes that I spent with you guys on Thursday was nothing I had prepared at all. It's because as I started to explain, as I read the verse and in my mind wanted to explain one thing, all of a sudden it opened up something else. There's something about teaching to others that opens up your own mind to understand things and unlock things in your own understanding. Find yourself a Bible study, if you haven't already, to be a part of. And find yourself a Bible study where you're free to share and to talk. And if you can't talk during the Bible study, to have somebody else that's part of the Bible study you can talk to afterwards and share some thoughts and ideas and have some give and take. See, Paul found in Timothy in Philippians, I know I said Ephesians, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul found in Timothy, because he'd seen so many other ones that were not, he found someone that was like a son to him. When you start teaching the Word, and this is the second point, and I'll make this point really quickly, as quickly as I can make a point. Paul was trying to find, and Paul needed to find, and the same thing I believe is true for you and I. We need to find somebody that we can mentor. In the same way that when you teach somebody the Word, when you're teaching a thought or a concept to somebody else, it helps clarify and open it up in your own mind. When you find someone else to mentor, someone else to share your insights, your experience, your wisdom, your knowledge from the Word of God, your experiences with Him, your own testimonies, your trials, your victories, and your defeats. And then God lifting you up from those times of failure. When you share and explain those things and you invest that into somebody else, you're creating someone, not that you want to create somebody after yourself, but you're creating someone else. This is what Paul did. Paul found someone, they had the like mind. He found Timothy, wanted to learn from Paul because Paul had been trained and learned from the Holy Spirit. Timothy saw that truth, realized that truth, wanted and hungered for that truth that came from Paul. And he learned in that. I'm sure what he learned from Paul was to listen to the Holy Spirit himself. So he learned from the teachings of Paul, but he also learned to hear from the Holy Spirit. And because Timothy was hearing from the Holy Spirit, guess what? The insights and the things that he was learning were the same things that Paul understood and that Paul was learning, because they each had the mind of Christ. And Paul couldn't be more than one place at a time. There is few things in life that are as fulfilling as when you are raising someone else up. When you can see that you're raising someone else up, someone else's life is benefiting, and you're raising them up and training them to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody else, so they become like an actual son to you. Thank God for your own son and your own daughters. But you need to find someone that you can, and it's usually going to be somebody outside your blood, someone that you can become a spiritual father to or a spiritual mother to, and train them and raise them up as sons and as daughters. Nothing, well, I shouldn't say nothing, but few things in life are as rewarding as that. And it's a great way. You know what? My time on this earth and your time on this earth is but a whisper. The more that I can take whatever insights, the more you can take whatever wisdom, whatever insights God has given you and invested in someone else and in others, you're exponentially making a change in this culture, which needs a change for Jesus Christ. Do you want a change in this culture? It starts with you and I making sure that we are taking, and if you just know a little bit, take that little bit that you know, thank God for that little bit, and invest it in somebody else. As you take that little bit that you understand, you're going to understand it even more, and God's going to show you more because you taught it to someone else. But you're also investing in someone else that can take that and can also grow and can spread that truth. Paul's heart was to teach, and Paul knew he could only be in one place. Our heart should be to share the good news. Paul's heart was to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Our hearts is supposed to be to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul knew he couldn't be more than one place at a time. You and I can't either. But we can build up those underneath us that God brings across our path so that they will come to know Jesus Christ and they will have the good news. They'll have the mind of Christ. You want to learn more about, you want to understand more about the Word of God? Teach it and train it to somebody else. Whatever you know, if you know one thing, teach it and train it to someone else, and watch how much more you understand.